And now, here's Michelle Badusky, keeping it real.
Good morning, everyone. It is Michelle Badusky here, keeping it real with you on Ed the Stocks FU Network, Kick FM Radio. And if you're watching me, you're joining me on Facebook, YouTube, or my own website, michellebadusky.ca. Wherever you are listening, wherever you are watching, thank you so much for being here. Now, today, I was hoping to talk to you about something, you know, really cool, something esoteric, something positive, something, you know, mind-blowing. And instead, here we are talking about COVID again. Now, it's been 8 months since the pandemic hit us here in Manitoba, and I can't believe we're still having these conversations. Not about the disease, because we knew that a second wave was going to hit Canada, the world, basically. We knew that was going to happen. We've known it all along. This is not something that, you know, has hit out of the blue that surprised anybody. We've been talking about it since the beginning of the pandemic. If you are shocked that there is a second wave, I don't get why. I don't know if you've been living under a rock. I think what most of us are shocked about is how badly it's hit us here in Manitoba. And that's what I want to talk about here. Because back in the summer, you know, right before Pallister's government started the Restart Manitoba campaign, and, you know, we're number one, and we're going to be the first, and we're going to do all this, completely ignoring all the science that said there was going to be a huge second wave, by the way. Before that, we went 3 weeks without a single new case. We were watching the numbers every day, and it was like zero new cases, zero new cases. And that was exciting. And now we did. We were doing really well. And now, today, the beginning of November, going into 9 months, we are hoping to have a day with zero deaths. That's how far down we've come. Per capita, we are the worst province in Canada for new infections. Hundreds and hundreds of new cases are announced every day. Yesterday alone, there was 5 new deaths, outbreaks in, 3 hospitals, maybe more now, personal care homes all across the province. The government has actually finally, you know, I'm glad they did, don't get me wrong, I think it's, you know, a month too late, but the government has finally stepped in and instituted new public health protocols for the city of Winnipeg, which is now code red, and the rest of the province, which is now code orange. And the amount, and this is what I'm shocked about, because we're not shocked there's a second wave. We're not shocked that we're still dealing with a pandemic. We are not shocked about all that. We might be shocked at the severity of how hard this has hit us here in Manitoba. I think we got lulled into this false sense of security that, you know, we're number one, we're the best, we're awesome. The virus didn't hit us that hard at the beginning, so, you know, we're great, and somehow we're protected. And we're not, obviously. And I think that's where a lot of the shock comes from, is how severe this spread is. But what I'm shocked that we're talking about is the little inconveniences that people are being asked to incorporate into their daily lives in order to help stop the spread of the virus, and their pushback. We are here talking today about the entitlement and privilege of many, not many, you know what, I should say, it's probably a very small minority of Manitobans. They're just very loud and very, you know, very loud and very vocal about their opposition to these minor inconveniences. I'm going to give you 2 examples. The first one, and you've been seeing this all over social media as of yesterday, maybe you've joined in the online banter, maybe you are saying, hey, this is no big deal, maybe you are outraged by it. Wherever you fall on this spectrum, you know what? Give your head a shake and stop fighting. You know what? I need to do it too. I need to step back, because if someone is online bitching and complaining about having to give their phone number to eat in a restaurant in Manitoba, so this is outside of Winnipeg, because dine-in restaurants in Winnipeg are actually closed right now. We'll get to that in a minute. But for the rest of the province, they are asking for someone at the table to leave a phone number and a name for contact tracing. And people are outraged. People are outraged. Oh my God, I've never seen anything like it. The minute this came into play, we saw social media absolutely blow up. We saw it blow up. We saw posts from restaurants, local, I've only seen one from a local restaurant here in Westmont, absolutely outraged about how he is being demanded to violate his customers' privacy, and he is not going to follow these protocols, and he's looking for ways around it. He's like, you know what, pick up takeout and then eat it at our picnic tables, and that's technically takeout, and I don't have to ask you for your phone number. People are outraged. Someone today on social media was like, this is an outrageous violation of our privacy. And when I pointed out that we actually give out more information just by posting on social media, that doesn't seem to stick with people. Now, if you don't think that social media tracks your data, you're wrong. You may think that you've got your GPS shut off on your phone and nobody is tracking you. You're wrong. If you call 911 and don't know where you are, they will be able to track your phone. That's the way technology works. Have you ever, you know, been Googling something on your phone, you know, like that you want to buy for Christmas, and suddenly Facebook is just full of ads with that same thing? You have given them more data and more information about yourself than you are ever being asked for to give at a restaurant for contact tracing. They are asking for your phone number and your name. This is information that has been routinely published online and in phone books for decades. For decades. We give it out all the time. You don't want to eat in, and they're like, people are online going, okay, you know what? Just order takeout. You know what you have to give to order takeout? Your name, your phone number, your address if you're having it delivered, and your credit card number. Nobody questions about, you know, that. Nobody questions about that because it's something they want. I want delivery. So here's my credit card number. Here's my address. Here's my phone number. No problem. But man, you know what? They say, I need your name and phone number for contact tracing. And this is why. Because we have so many cases in the province right now. They're growing at an exponential rate and public health cannot trace them. They don't know where the infection is spreading because people have so many contacts, they don't know where they've been. And when they go to public places, let's say a restaurant, they have no way of knowing who else was in that restaurant that could have possibly been exposed. So they're trying to put safety measures in place so that, let's say I had the virus and I was eating at XYZ restaurant last night and I got tested positive today, they could go back to the restaurant and say, who else was at that restaurant between these hours? We're going to contact them so they can either isolate or monitor for symptoms or whatever. Now we know that they're exposed. If I was at the restaurant sitting next to someone who later tested positive, I would want to know I was exposed so I could take precautions to protect my family until I knew I was negative for the virus. That is why they're asking for your freaking phone number. Your phone number. That's it. Your phone number, your email address, shit you give out every time you go to the grocery store. You know what? You go to a restaurant, if they said, can I get your name, phone number, and email address because we're giving away a free dinner to one customer this month, you will give it to them gladly. But in order to protect the health of others, people are outraged. This is the epitome of privilege, self-entitlement, and a selfishness level that absolutely baffles my mind. Like, I can't even wrap my head around how someone could bitch and complain about this as much as people are bitching and complaining about this online. The best thing I heard of is at some point someone said, oh, they're asking for valid ID. Well, from what I've seen, that's not true. But even if it was, let's say it is. I haven't seen it. I haven't seen it in any of the public health orders. But, you know, let's say it is. Let's give these paranoid people the benefit of the doubt and say, yes, you have to make sure, you have to give them valid ID because they're checking to make sure you're not giving them a fake name because there are selfish assholes out there that would do that, right? You know you would. These people that are bitching and complaining, of course they'll give a fake name and phone number because somehow they feel like they're being violated, you know, which is an absolute insult to people who are truly violated. I've actually seen people talk about how this is like being treated like a prisoner or the worst one ever. And the absolute absurdity of this, the offensiveness, the vulgarity and disgusted, twisted privilege that this person displayed when they equated being asked for your name and phone number at a restaurant to being treated like someone in Auschwitz. I'm not even lying. This is the shit that's happening online right now over a name and phone number at dine-in restaurant. How privileged, selfish, and entitled must we be to have that mindset that we have so little clue about how things are happening in the real world, that we are so full of ourselves that we can't even imagine that we would even go to those extremes. But let's come back to this ID thing. Every time you go to the liquor store, if, I would like to say I get asked for ID every time and I'd gladly show it. I'd do like a happy dance going, yay, I got asked for ID. That doesn't happen to me anymore. But if they asked me and I could not provide it, they have the right to refuse me alcohol. If you go buy pot, you have to have ID, even if you are like me and turning 46 next week. Nobody questions it. Here's my ID. Here's my driver's license. Is that good enough? Do you need a second piece? Because I want that wine. I want that pot. If I go to a bar, a social, a concert, many times I get asked for ID and they ask everybody for ID. That's just the cost of participating in that type of event. And nobody stands there and says, this is an invasion of my privacy. I refuse. This is like Auschwitz. Nobody. They just do it and carry on with their lives. But because the thought that we might be asked to do something like this in order to stem the exponential growth of a virus that is killing, what was it, 5 Manitobans yesterday? Our healthcare system is being overrun. We have over 100 people hospitalized right now. Our ICUs are full. Doctors in the province are actually banding together, begging the government to do something about it. And we have selfish, entitled, overprivileged Manitobans fighting the system because they don't want to give out their phone number for the privilege of eating in a freaking restaurant. That's what we're here talking about today. That is how far down the level of humanity we have sunk during this pandemic. I have seen some amazing things during this pandemic, and I've shared many of them with you. Some of us have made the absolute best of it. Some of us have lost businesses and income. I'm not denying that. I know I've done it. I know how hard that is. I know how difficult that is. But you know what? Some of us have lost family. Some of us have lost friends. Some of us have ill people in our, that we cannot visit, cannot see. And those that are extreme risk are in severe isolation, all of these things. I don't deny that there has been a heavy cost to this pandemic, but it's not a cost that you can blame on somebody. This isn't something you can say, someone on Facebook today said, let's blame the one person that allowed this virus into Canada. Like, what the fuck does that even mean? You know what? This isn't about blaming who got the virus or this is about taking responsibility for our own actions to stop the spread and protect those people. Exponential growth, and they've lost control of contact tracing. When I say exponential, I want you to think back to, high school math, your mind might blow, right? Exponents to the nth or whatever you want to call it. But let's just look at this realistically. 200 new cases of virus was detected yesterday, just yesterday. There's hundreds the day before, but we've had well over 1,000 in just this last week. Let your heads wrap around that. For 3 weeks, we had 0 cases. We opened up the province and boom, here we are a couple months later in the second wave. People are dying every day. Healthcare is being overrun. ICUs are being overrun. We have 1,000, over 1,000 cases in a week. But let's just look at yesterday. 200 new cases. Dr. Russo is saying they are seeing people with up to 40 close contacts because they're out partying. They're out at social gatherings. They're going out to places. Sometimes while symptomatic, which is the epitome. Actually, you know what? I'll go back. I said we shouldn't be blaming people for the virus. Bullshit. We should. If you are going out while symptomatic or going out after you know you've been exposed and haven't bothered gotten tested or isolating, you are to blame for who you spread that disease to. You know what? Let's call a spade a spade. This is bullshit. People need to start taking responsibility for their own actions, and there needs to be consequences. And finally, the government is actually standing up and saying there's going to be consequences. And, you know, they keep threatening more, which I think is, you know, a little too late, and threats haven't worked up to this point. They just need to do it. But regardless, that's a whole different conversation. Actually, I think that was the conversation I had last week. So go back and listen to that podcast. But people need to start taking responsibility for their own actions. And contact tracing is going to help public health figure out who those 200 people actually potentially exposed. So when we talk about exponential growth, let's just say each person had 10 close contacts. 10, right? So 200 people had 10 close contacts each in the last few days while they were infectious. And each one of those 10 people had 10 contacts. Do the math. How many potential exposures is that in just a matter of 24 or 48 hours? And how many of those people came in contact with people with immunocompromised systems? The elderly, healthcare workers. This is why you are being asked for your phone number for the privilege of eating in a restaurant. This is why the government is considering a curfew, which caused a whole nother onslaught of online screaming and yelling. One person, now I don't know if people are actually this ignorant. Like maybe they are just this ignorant. Maybe they are just this clueless and just don't get it. Like they've been living under a rock for 8 months and haven't been, you know, reading anything or listening anything. Maybe they are just this clueless. Or maybe they are willfully ignorant. Or maybe they are so freaking selfish that they can't see beyond their own convenience. The curfew brought out all these people. The idea of a curfew here in Manitoba, it's like, what? The virus knows how to tell time? This is bullshit. No, moron. And yes, you know what? Someone said that to me yesterday. Someone said, maybe we need to be kinder. Maybe I need to stop being so judgmental. Michelle, you need to be a nicer human being. And you know what? Nice has gotten us to this point. Nice is killing Manitobans because other Manitobans are being selfish and not following the rules. People are dying because people have been too nice for too long. This has been 8 months now. It's in every news report. You cannot go anywhere and not understand the severity of this disease. And yet people are like, but it's got a 99.9% recovery rate. This is bullshit that I need to be inconvenienced though, because it's just the old people that are dying. That's how far down we've sunk. I actually had someone post on my Facebook page. She was hiding behind an anonymous Facebook page username, which I think is the most childish, ridiculous thing I've ever seen. But I know who she is in real life. She works at a church and she volunteers at a senior center. And yet, because she's hiding anonymously, or thinks she is, on Facebook, she said, these people are old and going to die anyways. Yeah. That is how far down we have sunk as human beings. So you know what? If it makes me a bad human being that I am tired of kissing people's ass and begging them to follow the fundamentals like Pallister and Rusin has been doing. Actually, no, I'm not even going to apologize. Screw that. Enough is enough. This is where we have gotten. Yes, people are going to lose their businesses. You know, we're seeing it in the city. Restaurants have to close down for at least 2 weeks. Gyms are closing down because they are now mandated to wear masks in the city while working out. And if you're like me and you work out, you know that that is very uncomfortable. It can be done. Don't get me wrong. It can be done safely. It can. But people just don't want to, so they stop going to the gym. People are losing their businesses. I know that. I've lost mine. My gym is currently closed down. It has been for months. I get the economic impact. But when you choose the behavior, you choose the consequences. And unfortunately, too many people have chosen the behavior of not following the rules and putting the lives of Manitobans at risk. And now here we are. Is it my fault people have done that? Is it my fault that people are going out partying while symptomatic and exposing 40 or 50 other people to the virus that can go home and take it to their elderly, you know, grandmothers, parents, or children that with immunocompromised systems? No, it's not my personal fault. But this is part of what being a member of society is. If we cannot control our group behavior, we all suffer the consequences. This is the reality of it. And these behaviors have not been controlled. And you know what? I am happy to jump on the anti-Pallister bandwagon and say that these things should have been done a month ago. Absolutely. But they weren't. So here we are today. And when we chose the behavior as a society, we chose the consequences. And these consequences are getting more severe because the virus is growing exponentially and we have lost control and people are dying. These are the consequences. And when you belong to a society, there are two things. You know, I hear a lot of people going, but my rights. There's a second side to having a right that people love to forget. Every single right has a responsibility attached to it. My six-year-old knows this. You have the right to an education, but you are responsible for studying. You have the right to food and shelter, but you are responsible for maintaining that shelter and eating that food. As a parent, I am responsible for providing you food. Doesn't mean you're going to get to choose what it is. There is a responsibility attached to every right. We have the right to move freely about our province, but we are responsible to protect the health and welfare of others. And if we cannot be responsible, those rights will be rolled back. That's the government's job. You know, for all you people out there saying that they can't do this, they can't tell us what to do, bullshit. They absolutely can. That's their job. And we have pushed them. Our society, Manitoba, you know, in a way, you guys really need to be kicking your own ass because the Pallister government didn't want to do any restrictions. This is one of the reasons we got here. They really trusted Manitobans to do what's right. You know, they begged us daily to follow the fundamentals, follow the rules. Don't do this, don't do that. They left us to our own devices, hoping we would do the right thing, and we didn't. Now, when I say we, I don't mean you personally or me personally. I mean we as a society. We are a society. And we work together for the benefit of all. And we didn't do that. This government would have let us go forever without rolling in restrictions. But we put them up against the wall. And they have to now. We force their hand. And if they decide that a curfew is necessary, and not because, you know, like these idiots on Facebook are saying the virus knows how to tell time, it's to curb the gathering sizes. It's to curb the house parties. It's to stop people from getting together in groups, especially where alcohol and drugs are involved. And, you know, at social, physical distancing, sharing of food, all those things kind of fall by the wayside after you've gotten a little bit, you know, a little bit lightheaded. That's where they're seeing the spread. They know this. They have the facts. They have the case studies. They're not pulling this out of their ass. And yet people would think that they're so hard done by. I'm sorry. We're in the middle of a global pandemic. Where do you need to be outside of your home in your own bubble after 11 p.m. at night? Where exactly are your rights being infringed on? Where do you need to go? If you're on your way to work, that's not going to change. Where exactly is it that you need to be? And if you feel like you absolutely have to be out at a friend's house, you're part of the problem. A curfew will actually help them enforce these rules because nobody should be out. And if they are out, they better have a damn good reason. That is the biggest part of the problem with these restrictions is the enforcement of them. And a curfew will help them do that. Yes, I'm all in favor of a curfew for Manitobans because we have not followed what we needed to do. No different than if I've never actually put a curfew on my kids. I have a 15-year-old daughter and my son is 26. Neither one of them has ever had a curfew because I've never felt like I needed to because they don't go out till 3 o'clock in the morning. They never have. If they say, "What time do you want me home?" and I say 10 o'clock, they're home at 10 o'clock. I've never had to. But you know what? If all of a sudden I said, "I'd like you home at 10 o'clock," and they didn't come home till midnight, and they did it multiple times, they would damn well have a curfew. And I guess, you know what, saying I want you home at 10 o'clock kind of is a curfew, but it's never been set in stone. And sometimes they don't even ask. So, you know what, it's never been a big deal. But if all of a sudden, you know, I said, "Oh, whatever," and they came home at 2 a.m., we would have that talk. And if they did it again, you know what, there would be a very strict curfew with consequences. That's what being a parent is. You let people make their own decisions, and when those decisions are actually putting them or others in harm's way, you roll them back. You do not have the right to risk the health of other people. You do not have that right. If you want the privilege of eating in a restaurant, give them your fucking phone number. That's your responsibility to help protect public health. If you feel that's a violation of your rights or your privacy or somehow that offends you, don't eat in a restaurant. Order takeout and give them your credit card number instead. Because somehow, in that mentality, to a lot of people, that makes sense. If I sound like I'm frustrated, I am. I don't want to be talking about this. I don't want to be dealing with this. I don't want people to be messaging me every 10 minutes with this outrageousness that is coming on Facebook. I don't want that. But it's happening because this is where we are right now. And we shouldn't be. We've learned nothing in 8 months except how to get more entitled, more privileged, and more selfish. Because in March, we shut things down when we had four active cases and no deaths. Now we're seeing deaths every single day and hundreds of new cases, and people want less restrictions than they had before. It doesn't make sense. Somehow we have failed society. Somehow we have failed ourselves as a society, and we're willing to risk the most vulnerable for convenience. One of the best memes I've seen on the internet all week is I can't remember the exact wordings, but it was basically, if this virus was most likely to kill the young, our parents and grandparents would do everything in their power to protect us. And yet here we are. Like my church working senior volunteering friend says, they're old, they're gonna die anyways. That's how far down we've come. This virus, this pandemic has brought out the best in a lot of people, but man, has it brought out the worst in so many others. I want you to think about that. And I also want you to think about, you know, one of the things that really bothered me was someone saying, "My sister was asked for her name and phone number here," whatever place it was. "And man, did she tell them where to go?" And they were proud of this. They were proud of the fact that their sister tore a strip off an employee of a business who was only doing what they were told by their employer, who was only doing what they were told by the government. All these people are trying to make a living and doing what's necessary to protect the population, and people are proud of telling them where to go. I think we're better than this. We have to be better than this. And you know what? Being nice and begging doesn't work anymore. It's time for the hammer. You know, there's a saying that I really strongly believe in. First, there's a feather, then there's a brick, then there's a truck. The universe sends us signals when something isn't right. We get that gut feeling, relationships, things like that. First, they just kind of tickle us with the feather, you know, that little nagging feeling that things aren't right. And if we don't listen to it, we get hit with a brick. Something happens, and we go, "Huh, maybe I should listen to the feather." But if we don't listen to the brick, if we don't get the message, if we don't change our behavior, along comes a big ass frickin' truck. Boom. And you know what? That's what's happening now. We didn't listen to the feather back in March. We sure as hell didn't listen to the brick in the summer when we restarted Manitoba. Now we're getting hit with a truck. and we want to blame everyone else but ourselves. We did this, Manitoba, and we are the only ones that can fix it. So stop the bitching, stop the whining, do what needs to be done, be nice to those people that are doing what needs to be done, and start kicking the asses of the people that are fighting against it. You know what? Someone said to me the other day, oh, you just need to, like, take her with a grain of salt. Oh, just ignore it. No. You know what? You people that are doing this online are spreading this misinformation. You're spreading incorrect data. You are helping those people who don't want to comply with orders to protect the public justify their asshole selfish behavior. Stop it. Stop it, because you're not helping anyone, and you're certainly not helping yourself. You want more restrictions? You want a bigger truck? Keep fighting the little that we have. People are screaming about lockdown. Canada, Manitoba, we've never seen a lockdown. You call it a lockdown when you can order delivery, you can order takeout and still go to Walmart? That's the worst that we had it. That is first world problems. That is a sense of privilege and entitlement that is going to get us in more trouble. Because if we don't listen to the truck, I don't know what else is going to come down that line. And I don't want to find out. So pull up your big girl panties, suck it up, do what you need to do, follow the rules before they get worse. And if that's not enough, you know, if the idea that immunocompromised and elderly people are going to die, if that isn't enough for you to be willing to, you know, sacrifice a bit of convenience, like giving out your phone number, you poor little thing, then think about what's going to come down next if we don't follow even these basic rules. Because this is getting ridiculous. Not so much the pandemic, not so much the government response, but the attitudes of the people in my own community, in our area, and in our province that are perpetuating a disease that we could control if we would just be able to look beyond ourselves and do what is right instead of what is easy. Until next week, this is Michelle Badooski, keeping it real.
You've been keeping it real with Michelle Badooski. You can follow her on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter.